Okay, I want to thank Mrs. Cement for inviting me back. Oh, you make it happen every year, Baruch Hashem. I want to welcome those who are new. My name is Moshe Tzvi Weinberg, for those who don't know, and I have the schus, Baruch Hashem, over the course of the year of spending some time here at this Wednesday club hour to learn Torah together. Torah Lishma. It's the Torah Lishma club. That's the name of our club. So since it's Chodesh Elul, let's jump right into the month of Elul, because there's a lot to think about. I'm sure we're familiar, many of us are familiar with the fact that the Svarim, Minhagim Svarim, Halacha Svarim, certainly Machshava Svarim, bring many different acronyms for the month of Elul. Different words that allude to the month of Elul. For example, if one looks in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in the first source, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch brings four such ramazim, four hints, four different expressions, words, looking at the first letters of this phrase, that somehow capture for us, in some cryptic way, the essence of the whole avoda, what we're trying to accomplish in Chodesh El. So for example, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes, in source number one, Harav Adonenu Rav Yitzchak Luria, Zichrona Levracha, that's the Arizal. The Arizal brings an interesting remez. Pasuk says, V'asher lo tzadav elokim, ina liyado v'samti lecha. The context of that pasuk is talking about a person who killed someone by accident and is forced to run to a city of refuge in Ir Mikla. And the pasuk says, Asher lo tzada, he was not lying in ambush, he didn't mean to harm anyone. Va'alukim ina liyado, God brought it to his hand. And then the pasuk says, V'samti lecha makom, I'll make for you a place where you can run, as the Torah describes the unique halacha concept of an Ir Mikla, of a city of refuge. But the Arizal pointed out, Ina, Liyado, Vesamti, Lecha, the first four letters spell out Elul. How is Elul the city of refuge? Okay, something to think about. And then a couple lines later where it's bolded, he says, I'll give you another one. He says in the fourth line, Od Amru Dorshe Reshumos, those who pay attention to letters and words, explain that the Pasuk says, Umal Hashem Lokecha Es Levavcha Ves Levav Zaracha. The Pasuk says, Hashem says, I will circumcise your heart and the heart of your children. I'll remove the impediment, the blockage of your heart to allow your soul to be what it's supposed to be. Again, the Svarim point out, Es Levavcha Ves Levav, I bolded it for you, Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed, Rashi Tevos Elul. Spells out Elul. It's a time when Hashem is helping us to unblock our hearts and the hearts of our family members. Okay, a third one, probably the most famous one, Ani Lidodi Vidodi Li, Rashi Tevos Elul. And here's an interesting one. It says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, I'll give you another one. V'chein ish l're'ehu u'matanos le'evyonim. From the ninth chapter of Megillas Esther. What does that have to do with Elul? Ish aleph l're'ehu lamed u'matanos vav le'evyonim lamed. Spells out Elul. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says maybe we could take at least three of these. We know that the tshuva process is made up of tshuva and tefillah and tzedakah. Mavir nesroa ha'gzeira. So maybe these different names allude to that. Circumcising the heart is tshuva. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li is the relationship we build through tefillah. Ish l're'ehu matanos levyonim is tzedakah. Tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah. Mavir nesroa ha'gzeira. Okay, could be. But there are many such acronyms. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, mainstream source, I figure it's a good place to start. I want to share with you a lesser-known acronym. I imagine you've heard some of these before. This one was totally new to me. And it comes from the holy Megala Amukos. The Megala Amukos from Nasa Nata Shapira of Krakow. This takes us back to the late 1500s, early 1600s. Chief Rabbi of Krakow wrote many svarim, most famously known for his sefer Megala Amukos. It's a deep title, Megala Amukos, the one who reveals the depths. And Megala Amukos reveals to us an amazing hint to the month of El, which is going to be what we're going to discuss today. The Megala Amukos, who was bringing the teachings of the Arizal to Poland, to Krakow, again, early 1600s, a mystic, a very deep Jew, didn't take a salary all his years as rabbi, felt it was the work was too holy, he couldn't take a penny. A descendant of Rashi, the Megala Amukos writes in Parshas Ekev, in source number 2, Elul is Rashi Tevos, check this one out, Aron, Luchos, Vishivrei Luchos. Aron, the ark, Luchos, the tablets, Vishivrei Luchos, and the broken Luchos. Because we know there's two sets of luchos. There's the luchos that Moshe tried to bring down and was forced to smash when he saw the terrible Chet HaEgel. And then there's the second luchos that Moshe brings down for Klal Yisrael when? When did we get the second luchos? On Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day not only of tshuva, but of Torah. We got the second luchos, which is the embodiment of Torah, on Yom Kippur. So let's think about this remez for a couple of minutes together. Aron, Aleph, Luchos, Lamed, Vishivrei, Vav, Luchos. What does that mean? What does that have to do with El? A time we think about tshuva, getting ready for Yom Noraim, preparing ourselves to encounter Hashem head on. Aron, Luchos, Vishivrei, Luchos. The Aron that housed the Luchos and the broken Luchos. So what happened to the broken Luchos? Let's first understand what actually happened. After Moshe broke the Luchos, what did he do? He picked up the broken pieces and swept it up with the broom, put it in the garbage. It was holy, put it in Shemus. I'm saying, what did he do with it? What did he do with the Luchos? So the Torah tells us in Parshas Ekev in source number 3. Ba'eis hahi amar Hashem Elai. Moshe is recounting when Hashem first charged him with preparing the second Luchos. Psal lecha shnei Luchos avanim. Psal lecha. Carve out for yourself. Etch out. Prepare the stones which will make the second Luchos. And they should be karishonim, like the first ones. Because the words are going to be just the same. The same words that were on the first are going to be on the second. Va'ale alai hahara. And schlep those stones up to the top of the mountain. Where Hashem says, I will prepare them and make them like those first luchos. But this time, you have to prepare the stones. Hashem says, I took care of everything the first time. This time, you prepare the stones. Psal lecha, shnei luchos havan. Prepare the two stone tablets. Va'asisa lecha aron eitz. And make for yourself an aron to house the luchos. Now, in these psukim, there's a big discussion. Rashi, Ramban, how many aronos, how many storage places for the luchos were there? Was there one? Was there more than one? How did it work? When they went out to war, they took the aron that was made out of wood, as opposed to the aron that was made out of gold and wood. They took it out to war. When they went out to battle, which housed the broken luchos? Okay, there's a lot of discussion in the Rishonim exactly how it worked. We're going to keep it simple. So far, the pasuk says Moshe is told to make luchos, and he's told to make an aron. Pasuk beis ve'achtov ala luchos esadvar asher hayu ala luchos harishonim asher shibarta. Hashem says, "You bring the stones, and I will write on the stones exactly what we wrote, what was written on the first luchos. And in case you forgot, Moshe asher shibarta, the ones that you broke. And what should you do with the luchos, the new luchos? Visamtom ba'aron, place them in the aron. What should you place in the aron?" The new ones, the old ones, both? Says the Gemara in Menachos, in source number 4, the Pasuk mentions Asher Shibarta, it mentions the broken ones, right next to the words what? Visamtam ba'aron, place them in the aron. Says Rav Yosef in the Gemara in Menachos, it's also in Bava Basra and Maseches Brachos as well, Tani Rav Yosef, Malame, you know what this comes to teach? From the fact that it mentions the broken luchos, and it mentions placing in an aron, it must be, says Rav Yosef, my friends, by the end of the day, you're going to thank Rav Yosef tremendously. Rav Yosef's our hero for the day. Rav Yosef teaches us that what? Malami, that comes to teach, Shahaluchos vishivrei luchos munachin ba'aron. From the placement of the phrase, asher shibarta, visamtam ba'aron, it teaches us that not only were the luchos placed in the aron, but the shivrei luchos, the broken tablets, the failed experiment, was also placed in the aron. And the Gemara learns a very important rule in Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. The Gemara says, Mikan, from here, the Talmid Chacham, if you see a person who has great Torah wisdom, and they get old, and they forget their Torah, Sheshachach Talmudo Machmas Onsa, a Talmid Chacham who, you know, as life goes on, sometimes a person forgets their learning. You can't recall, your memory is not as sharp as it once was. You should be careful. Ein noagin bo minag bizayin. Treat a person who once had Torah, now their Torah is broken, you still have to treat them with respect. Because the broken luchos were also treated with respect. The broken luchos were also put into the aron. Rashi in Maseches Bava Basra, we'll come back to it in a little bit, but just so you can have a picture in your mind, where the Gemara has the same discussion in Maseches Bava Basra, Rashi adds an interesting comment in source number 5, that the shnei luchos that were placed in the aron, the shivrei luchos that were placed in the aron, were placed tachas haluchos, were placed under the luchos. Now you want to put like the good, you know, if you're selling fruits and vegetables, so you want to put like the good fruits and vegetables on top, so people, you know, everything looks very fresh. So we have the nice, wholesome, complete second luchos, intact, and at the bottom of the aron, you know, we hide the replace the shivrei luchos, the broken luchos. So my friends, I want to ask you a simple question. Why do we need to keep the shivrei luchos? It's embarrassing, no? I mean, shivrei luchos is basically a reminder that there was something called chet ha'egel, which Chazal say, by the way, we're still paying for it till this day. And if you stubbed your toe this morning getting out of bed, that has to do with chet ha'egel. You got a flat tire last week on the highway? Somehow it's loosely connected to chet ha'egel. We're paying it off for generations and generations and generations. So we have the new luchos, we got the replacement, we're done with the shivrei luchos. Let's put away the shivrei luchos. Put them away once and for all, you know? We don't need to keep them lying around. And that they should take up a place right alongside, in the Aron. The Aron should house the luchos and the shivrei luchos. And somehow the Megal Mukos tells us this connects to Elul. Aron, luchos, v'shivrei luchos, rashi tevos, Elul. Very, very strange. So I want to share with you a story that I know I shared, those who were here last year, I shared it Purim time. I shared it orally last time, but we're going to read it inside today. It's one of my favorite stories. It doesn't get old. If you've heard it from me too many times, I'm sorry. For me, it doesn't get old. I love it too much. It captures the whole essence of probably everything that I'm trying to share in all of the shiurim that I give. And it's really the essential, in a certain sense, the essential teaching of Chassidus, the world of the Baal Shem Tov. It's really not a story. It's actually a dream that took place that the Skolya Rebbe, the late Skolya Rebbe, passed away in 1979, had a dream, and his grandson records that the present Skolya Rebbe, in Borough Park, the grandson of the previous Skolya Rebbe, was a Holocaust survivor, a tremendous Baal Mofes, a tremendous Kadosh, Tzaddik, Tahor, amazing, amazing Jew. He tells the following dream that his grandfather had. It's in a sefer called Chakima Beramiza in Parsha Shemos in source number 6. Here's what the current Skolya Rebbe, Rav Avraham Moshe Rabinovich, says about his grandfather. Shamanu me'avi me'aduni avi zekeni zatzal. I heard from my grandfather. Shinisgala a love. That one time it appeared to him. Who appeared to him? His ancestor, HaBaal Shem Tov HaKadosh. The holy Baal Shem Tov. Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Hasidus, a revolutionary Jew. Changed the world over. The Baal Shem Tov appeared to the Skolya Rebbe in a dream, B'chalom. Kishu omed al har gavoa. And they were standing on a tall mountain. And the way I like to picture it, they were looking down over a huge valley. Va'amar, and he said to him, Bo ve'eracha eich ovdim es Hashem. The Baal Shem Tov said to the Skolya Rebbe, you want to see what it means to really serve Hashem? Can I teach you what Avodas Hashem looks like? And standing on the top of this mountain. At this chus, I was in Wyoming for 4 days this summer with my wife. It's really cool, I recommend it. If you can get to Wyoming, it's amazing, it's beautiful. You're looking at these mountain ranges, you know, the Grand Tetons, Yellowstone National Park. It's awesome. So I picture, now I have an image, you know, just the awesomeness of looking at this massive mountain. Picture the Baal Shem Tov at the Skolya Rebbe right at the top. And he says, you want to see what Avodah, can I teach you what Avodah Hashem really is? You figure they'll sit down and he'll give them a whole shiur. V'hishlich HaBaal Shem Tov HaKadosh Es Atzmo L'toch Bika Amuka. The Baal Shem Tov threw himself, no parachute, jumped right off the mountain, into the valley, into the cavern down below. And the Skolya Rebbe looks as the Baal Shem Tov is descending, he sees that he hits the bottom, v'nishbar l'shivrei shvarim, and he breaks, it's a dream, he shatters into little pieces, like a delicate glass vase, you know, smashing on the floor. Millions of little shards of glass, little broken pieces. So I like to picture, again, maybe a little poetic license here, the Skolya Rebbe runs down the mountain, he runs down to see, I mean, what are you going to do with the Baal Shem Tov? He runs down the mountain to gather up the broken Baal Shem Tov, v'chol shever hayubatsura shleima shel Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. And when he gets to the bottom, he picks up one little shard, one little broken sliver of glass, and he sees that tiny little piece somehow is like a miniature Baal Shem Tov. It's the tsura shleima, it's the whole image, the full thing is there, but just in like a little broken piece. Millions of little Baal Shem Tovs. Pretty wild image. Especially for people like us who never saw the Baal Shem Tov. Millions of broken little pieces, but each one is completely whole. There's so much to take from this story. I'm not even going to read the last two lines of what the Skolya Rebbe, you can look at it later, how the Skolya Rebbe wanted to interpret this story. There's so much in this story. But I think the most simple interpretation of the story, the simple interpretation of this dream is that sometimes in life, you can look at something which looks completely shattered, completely broken, And if you just pick it up and you hold it close and you look at it under the right light, you see that, wait a minute, it's actually whole. It's different. It's different after the breaking, there's no question. Those miniature Baal Shem Tovs look different than the big Baal Shem Tov on the top of the mountain. But he saw somehow in that brokenness, he saw something that was even more whole. There was more wholesomeness that emerged from all the complete Baal Shem Tovs. A multiplication, a multiplicity of Baal Shem Tovs. Each one, in a certain sense, smaller than the original one. But there was many more wholesome Baal Shem Tovs. Broken yet wholesome pieces of the Baal Shem Tov. What does that mean? The Kotzker Rebbe was known to say, and only the Kotzker Rebbe could talk like this, there's nothing more wholesome than a broken heart. It's a good quote. There's nothing, the Kotzker Rebbe said, there's nothing more shalem, there's nothing more complete than a broken heart. Now, I want to be very clear. Brokenheartedness is not the same thing as sadness or depression. Sadness and depression is not something we value as Jews. We try to avoid it very much so. Mitzvah gedol alios besimcha. It's not a pasuk in Chumash or even a Gemara, right? But it's something that we stand by. That simcha, like Rav Aaron of Karlin said, there's nothing that will help you more in your avodas Hashem than being besimcha, and there's nothing that will mess you up more in your avodas Hashem than being sad and depressed. And simcha is not a mitzvah, and sadness is not an aveira per se. It's not one of the 613. But they're very essential principles. Sadness is not the same thing as having a lev nishbar. Lev nishbar, what the Kotzker Rebbe is telling us, lev nishbar is actually a very wholesome thing. To be brokenhearted in a way of growth is a very, very wholesome thing. And it's so wholesome, said the Kotzker Rebbe, that there's nothing more whole than a broken heart. Kotzker Rebbe also said there's no person as big as a person who makes himself small. You can start to get a sense of how the Kotzker Rebbe saw things. He thought a little bit differently. But let's take that first one. There's nothing more wholesome than a broken heart. What's the pshat? You don't really have to explain this Kotzker. I mean, either you get it or you don't, you know? Anyone here who has a heart gets it, and I feel like you're, you know, if your heart is completely closed, I could spend an hour lecturing on it, you still won't get it. What does it mean there's nothing as wholesome as a broken heart? What did the Kotzker Rebbe mean by that? And what were these? What was the Tzura Shleim of the Baal Shem Tov that was found in every broken piece in the Skoli Rebbe's dream? So let's learn the beginning of the Torah, and let's learn the end of the Torah. Because Elul is the last month of the year, and Tishrei is the beginning of the year. Right? The summer is ending, the new year is beginning. Okay, we're at a point of ends and beginnings. What does the Torah say to us when it begins? What does the Torah say to us when it ends? And maybe, if we study those bookends well, we can have a real sense of what the whole Torah is about. How does the Torah begin? Bereishis, new beginnings. It's very hopeful. Bereishis, a nice word to start with. Something new, something fresh, new hopes, new beginnings. I'll ask a simple question. Why did the Aleph not start the Torah with Aleph? Why did the ultimate one, Hashem, Echad, why did Hashem not begin the Torah with an Aleph? The first letter. So you'll say, well, Hashem did, you know, just be patient, Moshe Tzvi. We'll get to Aseres and Dibros, Ten Commandments, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. God started with an Aleph. Why did creation not start with an Aleph? Why did creation start with the base? Bereishis. It's almost as if the Torah is saying to us, Beis Reishis. There are two starting points. What are these two starting points? So let's learn a piece from the Shulchan Aruch Kadosh about Tkiyas Shofar. And when you understand what the Shofar is saying to you, you'll understand Beis Reishis. You'll understand why Hashem, knowing humanity, knowing the world that he was creating, which was both perfect and imperfect at the same time, it was broken and whole at the very same time, because Hashem is perfect, he has to make a perfect world, but it doesn't seem so perfect sometimes. Let's learn the Shulchan Aruch Kadosh in his explanation of Tkiyas Shofar. The Shulchan Aruch Kadosh writes in Source 7, Od Yisora Beremes HaKolos, let's talk about the message of the Shofar. Masha Meramzim, what's it hinting to? Umitchila akadim lecha masha kosva akadmonim. First you need to know a general principle that is discussed by early Jewish sources. It's discussed by Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva, it's discussed by the Rambam, both in the Mishnah Torah and in the Shmona Prakim. It's a basic psychological principle about human beings. Kishem sheyesh lahaguf brius v'choli umisa, kein yesh benefesh, where it's bolded. Says the Shulchan Aruch Kadosh, really based on the Rambam, Rambam speaks extensively about this, just like you could have a healthy body or a body that's not healthy, a body that's alive, and God forbid, a life that is ending, choli, misa, sickness and death, kein yesh benefesh. There are healthy souls and there are unhealthy souls. There are spiritually healthy people and there are spiritually unhealthy people. There are people who are spiritually alive, and there are people who are physically alive, but spiritually dead. What the Gemara calls Rishaim Afilu Bechayein Kriyan Misim. Right? That a Rasha, when he's alive, he's already called dead. Because he's not really alive, not connected to real life, essential life. Says the Shalach Kadosh, Ubrias HaNefesh Hu Kiyam HaTorah VaMitzvos VaHagos HaMidos HaYisharos. How do you become a healthy human being, especially as Jews? A healthy soul is a soul that keeps Torah and mitzvot and learns to have proper midos, yisharos, proper character development. And sickness, of course, is the opposite. If you're lacking in midos, if you're lacking in mitzvot, and you're lacking in Torah, then you're sick and, God forbid, you could die, spiritually die. V'arefuos lehem hu ha-tshuva ha-gamura. And, of course, the way we get healthy is what we're doing right now, a process called tshuva. I want to be a healthier Jew, spiritually healthier Jew. Says the Shlok, continuing in the second paragraph. Lachain token tashrat. Therefore, we sound the shofar tashrat. Tikia, shvarim, the reish stands for trua, and then tikia. We blow sets, right? We always start with tikia, we always end with tikia. In the middle, we blow some combination of either shvarim or trua, or shvarim trua, short blasts, really short blasts. What's the shofar saying to us? Gemara tells us, he tells us where it's bolded. Shvarim hu genuche ganach. Shvarim is genuche ganach. Shvarim is like short sobs. Kederach hacholim, like when a person is sick and they're krechzing. That's the shvarim. Right, complaining and krechzing and not feeling good. Trua is when a person's mamish sobbing. When you're just totally break down. The short, really short blasts of the trua. A person who's just uncontrollably sobbing. When does a person do that? And God forbid, if someone passes away, you can't care about dies, you just controllable flow of tears. When a person's sick, you say, oy vey, person, is complaining, you're coughing. Right? But when a person's dead, that's a trua, not just a shvarim, that's a trua. Says the Shlach Kadosh, Hinei osa Elokim es ha'adam yashar. Hashem made us straight. We're trying to get to a month called Tishrei, osios yashar, yashrus. We want to straighten ourselves out. Hashem made, like the Pasuk says in Kohelet, God made human beings straight. Hashem made us simple, good, wholesome, complete. Raksha Adam Makalkalas Atzmo. But we make ourselves so crazy, we become so convoluted and so conflicted, so distorted. We become twisted. Alze Mor Tekiya Rishona. So how do we start the cycle of Shofros? We start with the Tekiya, a nice, straight, clean sound. Kia, straight, nice. What happens next? After the kol pashut, the simple sound of the tekiah, we come to shvarim. Sometimes in life we've made choices that leave us feeling shvarim, feeling sick. Sometimes we've made choices that mamish seems to have killed off a certain part of myself. Trua, the intense sobbing of the trua. But my friends, what always comes after a shvarim or a trua? We always come back to tekiah. We always come back to tekiah. Says the Shla Kadosh, I'm reading where it's bolded. Ukisha ose tshuva shlema, ashav hu ledarcha harishona. We always come back to the way that it was at the beginning. We come back to tekiya, because you're also so Hashem Yisbarach yashar. We get back to that straightness, that simplicity, that wholesomeness that Hashem created us. Zehu tekiya achrona. That's the tekiya that comes after the brokenness of what, of the shvarim and the trua. It's the kol pashut v'yashar that we're trying to get to. And then the Shalach Kadosh says in the last four lines an amazing insight. He says, that's the pshat in the pasuk. The pasuk says in Hosea, ki yisharim darchei Hashem. Yisharim. Plural. I would think yashar is one dimensional. I would think the Torah, if it's going to start not with an aleph, it's going to start with a different letter. Right? Just say rachis. What's birachis? Beis rachis. How many starting points are there? So says the Shalach Kadosh, yisharim darchei Hashem. There's many straight paths. There's the straight path God put you on at the beginning, and then there's the straight path you're going to come back to after you do tshuva. When you straighten out all the brokenness and the crookedness that you've chosen in your life. Yesharim lashon rabim, he says. Klomar shtei pavim yashar. Dehainu sha'aso so yashar, Hashem made you yashar to begin. Ukeshechata v'shav. When you messed up, and then you straightened yourself out. Machzir olios yashar. With Hashem's help, you can get back to tekiah. But I'll take it even one step further. Because how do we like to sound off? When we're done, we put down the shofar. How do we sound off? Tekiah gedola. Tekiah gedola. You know what that means? It's such a beautiful remez. You think about it when you hear the shofar. Tkiya Gadola says, I can even reach a greater place after the Shvarim Trua, after the mistakes, after the brokenness, after the disappointment. I can get to an even stronger tekiah, something even more yashar, more direct, more real, more wholesome. And that's what the Shivrei Luchos are all about. Where do you take the Shivrei Luchos? So you can look at it one of two ways. I showed you the Rashi in Baba Basra. They put it under, you know, the nice Luchos, the nice wholesome Luchos. There's two ways to look at it. You could say that, well, maybe, you know, like we're hiding them, we're like a little embarrassed of them. We don't want anyone to see the Shivrei Luchos, you know, so we like sweep it under the rug a little bit. There's another way to look at it. You could say the Shivrei Luchos are holding up the second Luchos. It's a support to the second Luchos. Because a person who has spiritual maturity understands that the mistakes in my life are there to what? To help me to grow. It's an opportunity to lift myself higher, to pick myself up. And therefore, not only do we not throw out the Shivrei Luchos, we keep them in the Aron, and we give them a chashuv spot. It's not less chashuv to be underneath, it's more chashuv. All the wholesomeness that is presented on the surface, the second Luchos, it came about from learning the lesson of the failure of those first Luchos. That's how the Torah begins. Beis Reishis, Beis Reishis. The Svarim explained, based on this idea of the Shla, there's Beis Reishis, Yisharim Darchei Hashem. There's the yashar, there's the simple way Hashem wanted it to be. It's not always so realistic. Ein adam ba'aretz asher ya'aseh tov v'lo yechta. Everyone makes mistakes. We all mess up. But that doesn't mean I can't get to yashar. That doesn't mean I can't get back to tekiah. That doesn't mean I can't get back to the reishis, the way it's supposed to be. And again, it's a tekiah gedol. It's such a powerful tekiah. When a person works through that and understands the shivrei luchos are also part of the story. And that's chodesh elul. Elul, rashi tevos. Aron luchos v'shivrei luchos. Elul is not a time to duck under the covers and, you know, hope that Hashem's going to take care of everything. Elul is a time to confront my Shivrei Luchos and say, you know what? If I grow from that, it's not so bad. If I let it break me and I continue to be broken, then that's not wholesome at all. But if I can have brokenheartedness in the way that tshuva is supposed to make me feel, where I dig deep into my kishka, into my pnimius, and I say, you know what? I want to learn. I don't want to make those mistakes again because I felt sick last time and I felt dead. I want to be able to overcome the shvarim, which is the sickness, and the trua, which is the deadly illness. I want to get back to what? I want to get back to tekiah. I don't want to make it last this time. It's tekiah gedola. That's the lesson of the Shivrei Luchos. That's the beginning of the Torah. That's the Beis Reishis. Again, based on this idea of the Shlach Kadosh. Also, Reishis. You see the word yashar. We're trying to get back to yashrus. And how does the Torah end? Let's go to the other end. The other end of the book. How does the Torah end? The very last pasuk of Chumash, source number 8. Ulechol hayad hachazaka, ulechol hamora gadol asher asim Moshe le'inei kol Yisrael. It signs off singing the praise of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, you're just amazing. You did so many great things. You're so powerful. You did such amazing things. The wonders that you performed le'inei kol Yisrael, before the eyes of the Jewish people, for all of us to see, right before our eyes. Says Rashi, what did Moshe do le'inei kol Yisrael? No, you write Rashi. What would you write? He gave us the Torah, he took us out of Mitzrayim. I can think of some nice things Moshe did le'inei kol Yisrael. Says Rashi, no, I got a better one. Shenaso libo lishpor haluchos le'ineim. Moshe had the courage to smash the luchos in their face. Right in front of them. Smash the luchos. The stones were from God, the writing was from God, Moshe threw it on the floor. When he saw the Chere Eichel. He had the courage to do it. Shenaso libo, he had the confidence to smash the luchos. As the pasuk says, "Va'ashberein le'ineichem," I shattered them before your eyes. V'hiskim adas haKadosh Baruch Hu l'daito, and Hashem said, "I sign off on that. I agree to that." Shenamar, asher shibarta, like we saw pasuk earlier in Kisisa, the pasuk says, "Asher shibarta," and Chazal understood, "Asher shibarta," that you broke means yasher kolach shibarta. Shkayach for breaking the luchos. This is the Rashi that ends Chumash. This is the pasuk that ends Chumash. Shkayach Moshe Rabbeinu for having the courage to break the luchos. What type of courage do you need to break the luchos? It's a chutzpah to break the luchos. Of all the things Moshe did le'inei kol Yisrael, this is what we're so excited about. And Moshe taught the Jewish people, you know what? You'll see. You're going to learn from this. I'm going to break these luchos. This is not the last time. This is not the end. This is a new beginning. We're about to start fresh. Le'inei kol Yisrael. You messed up, Klal Yisrael. It's okay. There are consequences. That was the courage. Moshe said, I'm going to smash these luchos, but we're going to learn from it, and we're going to rebuild, and we're going to create something much more wholesome from this. And we're going to keep these broken pieces as a reminder that this is part of our story. This is part of the Jewish story. The second luchos that we think about on Yom Kippur. It all came about from what? From the shattering of the first luchos. I was curious today. Some of you who know me know I like gematrias. I like ramazim. I was just curious. I wanted to see when Moshe broke the luchos. What does Rashi say? Quote the pasuk. Two words from Devarim Perek Tes. Va'ash bereim le'einechem. I was curious. I said, I want to see what the gematria va'ash bereim le'einechem is. You know what it is? Tafshin ayin tes. The year that we're putting the finishing touches on. El tafshin ayin tes. Nu aron luchos v'shivei luchos. Rashi tevos el. Tafshin ayin tes. 779. Gematria va'ash bereim le'einechem. Nu. What are we going to make out of this el? Are we going to sweep our broken luchos under the rug and just hope, you know, I'll start fresh? Or do I hold on to the broken luchos and I put them alongside my new luchos and I create something so beautiful? The Kotzker Rebbe told us there's nothing more wholesome than a broken heart. You know what the biggest broken heart is? Look at this. How does the Torah start? With the letter Beis. How does the Torah end? With the letter Lamed. Lev. They're very far apart from each other. If you read the Torah, what? From beginning to end. But if you get to the end of the Torah and you see the broken luchos described in the last three words of the Torah, Le'inei Kol Yisrael, and you have the courage to reconnect, to go back to the Reishis, if you read the Torah the way the Jewish people always have, whenever we finish, we always start over immediately on Simchas Torah, the heights of everything that we're building up through the month of Elul to Tishrei, to coming to the Simchas Torah, that awesome celebration when we conclude Le'inei Kol Yisrael, Lamed, and start again, B'Reishis, Beis, then the Lev is reconnected. The Lamed is next to the Beis in the right order. It's not a broken heart. It's not a backwards heart. It's a corrected heart. But a Jew has to have the courage to understand the role of the luchos, of those broken luchos, to appreciate their place in our life. Every single time we daven Shemona Esrei, we make a bracha that you probably didn't understand what you're saying until right now. When we say the bracha, when we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rotzeh b'tshuva, we make a bracha. On Shmona Esther. That's how confident we are that tshuva actually works. We're willing to make a bracha on it. Safek brachos lahakel. If you're not sure if a bracha is appropriate, we don't say the bracha. So the Baal Tanya said. We make a bracha harotzeh b'tshuva. Says Rav Simcha Bunav Prashischa, in source number 10, quoted by the Yismach Yisrael, the Alexander Rebbe. The end of the first line. Al sha'anu mavarchin harotzeh b'tshuva. You know what harotzeh b'tshuva means? When we say in Shemona Esrei, Hashem wants tshuva? It doesn't say, this is such a good insight, it doesn't say, lo ha-misratzeh b'tshuva. What's the difference? Let's put your stern dollars to work here. Who's taking Hebrew? What's the difference between harotzeh b'tshuva and ha-misratzeh b'tshuva? The difference is HaKadosh Baruch Hu rotzeh, does he want, lichatchila, does he want tshuva? Or Hashem is misratze, he's willing to be appeased by tshuva. We don't say misratze b'tshuva. We don't say that if you messed up, Hashem is willing to accept tshuva, but, you know. Harotze b'tshuva means God wants tshuva. Well, there's only one way to get to tshuva, my friends, that's through averos. So you'll say, Moshe Tzvi, you can't, with 2 minutes left of this year, you can't, you know, start accusing God of being responsible for all of our averos. Okay? I'm not saying that. We have to be careful. We're not putting the blame on God. But apparently, what's hinted to in this bracha is that it's just part of reality. It's the first word of the Torah, Beis Reishis. You're going to have to start over at some point because you're going to mess up. Hashem says, I want tshuva. It was part of the master plan that the first luchos would be broken. Well, how does that fit into free will and God's omniscience? Okay, we don't have time for it right now. But a mature Jewish thinker understands that harotzeh b'tshuva is not the same thing, says Rav Simcha Bunav Prashischa, as hamisratzeh b'tshuva. Hamisratzeh b'tshuva means it's very bidiyeved, and if you got into that bad situation, Hashem says, I'm willing to deal with it, but I'm annoyed. Hashem rolls his eyes at us. Harotzeh b'tshuva means it's lechachila. I want tshuva. Tshuva is part of the master plan. That means you programmed me to mess up. Hashem says, yeah, because you're going to learn from it. You're not a baby. You're not going to be broken by it. You're going to have the strength to become a bigger person from it. You're going to grow from it. It's going to help you to reach new heights. I want to end with the words of Rav Soloveitchik in a story. Because the Gemara tells us that when a person does tshuva properly, and you reach a level called tshuva me'ahava, tshuva out of love, it's possible to even turn your averos into mitzvos. Rav Soloveitchik said, it's not a metaphysical reality. What does it mean to turn your averos into mitzvos? It's not something spiritual. It's not something lofty, it's very practical. And I like lofty and spiritual, but the Rav's awesome. Look what Rav Soloveitchik says. Rav Soloveitchik writes in On Repentance, Ala Tshuva. He says, what are you supposed to do with your averos? You're supposed to take the Shivrei Luchos and throw them out? Says Rav Soloveitchik in the second paragraph, sin is not to be forgotten, blotted out, or cast into the depths of the sea. On the contrary, sin has to be remembered. Why? Why do I want to remember my sins? I want to forget my sins. I want to move past my sins. It is the memory of sin that releases the power within the inner depths of the soul of the penitent to do greater things than ever before. The Shivrei Luchos are going to lift up Tachas HaLuchos, like Rashi told us in Bava Basra. It's going to push the good Luchos, the good, in quote, Luchos, the wholesome Luchos, to greater heights. It's going to boost them up. The energy of sin can be used to bring one to new heights. Rav Soloveitchik would give the example. Take Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish was a robber, a bandit, right? Who Rav Yochanan convinced, use your strength for something holy. Don't give up your strength. You have tremendous energy. You just have to redirect it. So all the bad choices, it came from somewhere. Where did it come from? It's just about redirecting it and using it in a better way in the future. Says the Rav in conclusion, the penitent who does not wipe out the past, nor tear the pages of sin from his memory. Don't throw out your Shivrei Luchos. Aron Luchos v'Shivrei Luchos Rashi Tevos El. Rather, make a point to use the memory of his sin to enhance his longings for holiness that are bursting forth from inside of him. Such a person achieves the quality of repentance which elevates evil to a state of goodness. Says the Rav, you know what it means tshuva me'ava turns averos into mitzvos? It's not that the avera of the past all of a sudden in your scorecard in Shemayim became a mitzvah. It's that you grew from that mistake, you learned from that mistake, to the point that, in a certain sense, the mistake of the past is generating mitzvos in the future. Because you grew from it, you learned from it. That's what it means averos are being transformed into mitzvos. It motivates a person to move forward. With regard to such a penitent, the Holy One, blessed be He, does not overlook transgression. When you have this mindset, Hashem doesn't overlook your averos, rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu bears your sin and transgression. Throw it out, Hashem, get rid of it. No. Hashem says, I'm keeping it. Because with the right lens, with the right perspective, it's possible to lift a person ever higher. So I'll leave you with a great little story. I know I shared it also once before. But the Rapshitzer Rebbe one time, a chassid of the Rapshitzer, of Naftali of Rapshitz, came to the Rapshitzer and he was complaining. He said, Rebbe, you're not going to believe what happened to me. I left my talis and tefillin on a chair after davening this morning. I came back this afternoon, it's gone. Someone stole my talis and tefillin. My talis, my tefillin, my siddur, it's all gone. It was all so precious to me. So the Rapshitzer says, tell me, well, tell me about your talis, tell me about your tefillin. So he says, Rebbe, my tefillin, it's a double tragedy. I wear two pairs of tefillin. I wear the Rashi tefillin or Beinu Tam tefillin. So the Rapshitzer says, I bought them. It's in accordance with the opinion of Rashi. Okay, interesting. So he says, tell me about your talis. So he says, oh, Rebbe, it's a very chashuv talis. It's Turkish wool. Very expensive talis, hiddur mitzvah. It's called Turkish talis. So he said, oh, you said it was your talis. You said it was Yankel's talis. Oh, it's a Turkish talis. It's not Yankel's talis. He says, tell me about your siddur. So he said, the siddur? It's a very chashuv siddur. A beautiful siddur. It's printed in Berditchev. It's a Berditchev siddur. Oh, so it's not your siddur. It's a Berditchev siddur. So he said, so what are you complaining? Was there anything else? The Rebbe said, what was it in? So he said, it was in like this old ripped bag. So he said, oh, the bag, that's yours. The bag is yours. The tefillin is Rashi's tefillin, it's Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin. The Turkish talis is a Turkish talis, it's a Berditchev of a siddur. The ripped bag, that's yours. Now what was the Rapshitzer saying? He wasn't poking fun at this chassid. He loved this chassid. What was he teaching him? He was saying, all your fancy Rashi tefillin, your Beinu Tam tefillin, your fancy siddur, your fancy tefillin, it's all very nice. But you know what's really yours? You know what you really own in this world? It's that ripped bag. It's the broken luchos. It's the struggles along the way. It's the setbacks that you allowed to become straightened out once again. It's the shvarim and the trua that you turned back into a tekiah gadola. So I give us all a bracha. Chodesh El, an amazing remez. We have to thank the Megala Mukos. I always tell my guys in YU, who would imagine when the Megala Mukos was writing this sometime in the early 1600s, if you ever imagine in Midtown Manhattan, we'd get together and spend 45 minutes talking about something he wrote in half a line, Aron Luchos, V'Shivrei Luchos. Smiling down, he's a chazik us as well. But we have to believe in these ideas. Again, take the Shivrei Luchos along with your Luchos and allow yourself to reach even greater heights. I wish everyone an amazing Chodesh Elul of Tshuva, of Tefillah, of Tzedakah, and continued growth in all aspects of Avodas Hashem. Thank you.